Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Yud Gimel. We begin five lines from the top of the Amid. It says the Gemara, Yuda Imer, Af Isha Acheres Maskirin Loi. We go back to our Mishnah, where we learned that they would designate a backup Kohen Gadol, just in case the initial Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei or Pasal. Rabbi Yehuda added, we also designate a backup Isha, just in case his wife passes away. And the Pasuk tells us, V'chiper ba'ada yubad beisai. The Kohen Gadol must bring a kapar for himself and beisai zu ishtai. He must be mechaper for them as one unit. Him and his wife together, if he has no wife, he cannot do the avoid on Yom Kippur. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, just in case something could happen to his wife, we go ahead and we designate a backup Isha, Af Isha Acheres Maskirin Loi, just in case the need arises. Chachamim say, if you're going to be Cheshish for these illogical Chashashis that his wife will pass away from one second to the next, then it's a never-ending proposition. You must create 100 backups. Ain't Lo Davar Seif, a backup for the backup for the backup with no end in sight. We're not Cheshish for that. Says the Gemara of Rabbanan Nami. What about according to the Rabbanan as well? They are cheshish for some sort of possible eventuality that the Kohen Gadol might become Tamei. So why, when it comes to that concern, they consider it a real concern which necessitates designating a backup Kohen Gadol? However, when it comes to the chance that his wife might pass away, we're not concerned about that. Amr lach Rabban will respond, there's a big difference. Tum is shchicha. Misa lo shchicha. Tum is something common. Rashi says, there's a never-ending repertoire of possible sources of tumma. We have keri, we have zav, we have tum, all kinds of different tumas that might present themselves. It's something which is common, and therefore carries a greater chance of it happening, and presents a greater concern. We need to have a backup Kohen Gadol to cover that chance. Whereas Misa, which Tosfos in the Beis Amunot explains to mean sudden death, that's something unlikely. Misa le'shchicha, why would you think his wife, who's walking around alive and well, on Erev Yom Kippur, will suddenly pass away a moment's notice? There's no reason to go ahead, be concerned about that, and designate a backup wife. In fact, Amru Loi, says the Gemara, Imkain, ain't lo davar seif. Rabbanan turned to Rabbi and say, well, if you're concerned about something like that, you're going overboard, then there's no end in sight. You need to have a backup for that backup, just in case that one dies. And a backup for the backup. And for the backup, for the backup. It's endless. Ain't the safe. Shapik Amrili the Rabbi Yehuda. This challenge that the Rabbanah presented to Rabbi Yehuda seems to be a pretty valid argument. If you can go overboard and be concerned about illogical, irrational possibilities, then there's no end in sight. You can't cover all possibilities, all bases. So what should we need to do to that? How does he respond to that argument? Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda responds, there's a difference between Lemisala the Chada, Chayshinan, between Chayshish for one Misa, yeah, Lemisa the Chada, that is still within the realm of reason. We're Chayshinan for that. That his initial wife will die. Lemisa the Tati the Chayshinan. However, to be Chayshish, that both Noshim, the first and the backup wife, will die, that's already going a bit far. I'm not Chayshish to that extent. So yeah, I'm going a bit overboard. Taisa says on the face because of the kapara of Yom Kippur, which is so important. We want to really ensure a successful avoid on Yom Kippur. So one backup wife is sufficient for that. Rabbanan, what do they say to that? They tell Rabbi to look, if you're allowing yourself to go overboard, to be cheshish for things which are beyond the realm of logic and reason, that somebody will die from one to the next, afilu lemisa de train chashina, then we should be chashish that both will die as well. If you're going overboard, then go all the way. You can't just stop there. And Rabbi Yehuda apparently disagrees. He says, even when we're dealing with far out chashashos, there's still a difference between this much, which is still somewhat within the context of logic and reasonability, and going beyond that, which is totally overboard. Fine. So that was the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. But there's one more kasha remaining. For Rabbanon, Neimru, Inhu Lenafshayu. The Rabbanon, just as they argued against Rabbi Yehuda, they said, well, if you're Cheshish for something like that, then there's no end in sight. They can apply that same Taina to themselves. What does that mean? Says Rashi up on the top of the Amud. Kivan de Amri, Ikele Mechash. Because if they, the Rabbanon, maintain that when there is a Chashash, Chayshina Nami Lumisa de Tarti, then we'll Cheshish, even that both will die. That was the argument of Rabbi Yehuda. Name Runami Bituma. The same thing can apply to Tuma as well. Ikele Mechash. If there is a Chashash of Tuma, which the Rabbanon agreed to, that's why we have a backup Kohen Gadol, just in case Kohen Gadol becomes Tummy. That's the case. Chayshina nam l'tumah d'tarti. And they're safe. Then just go further and further. Create a backup for the backup, and a backup for that backup, etc. Being that there are so many different possibilities, so many different ways, so many different scenarios where Tummy can present itself. There's a whole list of sources of Tummy. Zav, Balkeri, Tummy Smeis. So if a Chayshish, there's no end in sight. Why is one backup Kohen Gadol sufficient, according to Rabbanon? Says the Gemara, Amri loch Rabbanon, Rabbanon will respond, Kohen Gadol zorisu. Kohen Gadol is extra diligent. We know Kohanim is using him, and certainly the Kohen Gadol, before Yom Kippur, he's extra careful to avoid contact and interacting with Tuma. In which case, that provides a countermeasure to this great concern of Tuma coming into contact with Kohen Gadol. And therefore, we don't have to make that extra effort of creating a second and triple backup. Is Zorisu, if that's the case, if he's a Zoris, Lama Maskin Kohen Acher, why then do we even designate the first Kohen, the backup Kohen in the first place? If he's a Zoris, he'll be careful to avoid Tuma. So that's why you're right. You know why we have this backup Kohen? To create that undercurrent of competition, which will spur the Kohen Gadol to be more diligent. Given the Avdina Leitzara, since we created this Tzara, which is usually a reference to a second wife, they're competing entities, competing for the husband's attention. That's why they're called Tzaris. It's a term used in the Torah. So, we create this tzara situation for the Kohen Gadol. The competition, you know, kina seifrim tar b'chachm, we want to create that feeling of competition. Kol shekein de mizdaris fei, which will actually generate more zrizis, will cause them to be more zaris and more careful from and avoid tumah, if at all possible. So the bottom line is, according to all shittas, we are maskinin like kohen achar tachtav. We reserve another kohen as a backup. Tuma is shchiach. We're concerned perhaps the kohen gadol will become tummy. And as the Gemara concludes, the point of the backup kohen gadol is not so much because we're concerned that the kohen gadol will become tummy per se, but rather we want to enhance his performance and create a heightened sense of awareness. How do we do that? By creating this backup coin, creating undercurrent competition, which will bring him to be more zoris to avoid tuma. He'll say, look, I become tummy. Two things will happen. Number one, I can't do that void. And number two, look who's going to take over. So that feeling of competition will actually contribute to him being more careful from Tumah. Whereas when it comes to the Isha, Chacham say, lo yishchicha, that's not something which is common, that somebody should pass away from one second to the next. And therefore, there's no reason to take any precautions to avoid that. There's no reason to have a backup Isha. In fact, they told Rabbi Yehuda, who says, we do have a backup Isha, well, if you're going overboard, and go all the way. And it's a never-ending proposition. Ein l'davar seif. Rabbi Yehuda responded, well, even within the realm of unreasonability, there are still levels. Taking one extra precaution, one backup Isha, is still more reasonable than having two Nashim. You see that you have one spare tire in the car. You don't have two spare tires. So, one step of precaution is reasonable, but beyond that, I agree, we don't have to do. Continues the Gemara. What's the point of the backup Isha? Says Rabbi Yehuda, because of v'chiper ba'adoy u'ba'ad beisa. He has to be mechaper on himself and his wife as one family unit. So what do? We designate a backup Isha. Says the Gemara. And what is that going to do for you? U'misagile betakanta? Just making takanta, just reserving an Isha, just appointing an Isha, designating a backup wife. Sagile, is that enough? He didn't marry her. Beisai, Amar Achmona. V'chiper ba'adoy ba'ad beisai. She's not beisai, she's not his wife. V'achlav beisai. She's designated as a backup wife. But at this point, he hadn't yet married her. So what good is it to have a backup wife? In case his wife passes away on Kippur, he'll be left without an Isha. To Mekadashla. He does Kedushin with her. So he marries her. And I'll do this before Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, V'kama deloy kanisla la beisai. Kedushin is not enough. Until he's kanisla, until he actually does the chuppah, brings her home, and he doesn't assume, she's not considered beisai. Beisai means she's part of his home. Akeres habayis. Just Kedushin does not accomplish that. La beisai. The kanisla, okay, he marries her. He marries her before Yom Kippur? Yom Kain, havalish nebat. So now he has two wives. Rachmana Amar, Pasuk says, V'chipe ba'ada yubad beisoy, one wife. V'loy ba'ashne batim. So if he has two wives, although it's mutter minater until Cherub ben Gershem, but minater it's mutter, yeah, but in Kippur, it's going to interfere. Pasuk says, U'bad beisoy, loshen yachid. Can't have two wives. So what's the point of being mekadosh and marrying the second wife, which interferes with the first wife? The other megarishla says, "Well, I'll marry her. No, divorce her." Well, before we continue with the Gemara, it's very important to see Lashon Rashi here, who introduces us to the upcoming Amud in the Gemara. So Rashi here can be found 8 lines from the top of the Amud, right in the middle of that 8th line. There's a dot there, and Rashi begins v'chol sugya zois. You meant to know the following sugya ain't terutz and shabo yichayin lamed. We can go through many steps, many possible suggestions, which will provide possible solutions to the dilemma that we're facing regarding the one wife and the two wives. But you meant to know that at every step of the way, it's not really going to work. Kiyesh l'tshuvas rabbis. There are lots of responses, lots of answers, lots of refutations. Ve'enei elokim olam d'nei sonu. The Gemara is simply having a discussion, like two chavruses. Well, how about this? No, that doesn't work. What about that? That doesn't work. Vim temer kain, yishlashiv kain. If you'll say this, you can respond that. And the truth is, we don't really address at every step of the way, we don't address the entire gamut of considerations and all the questions that can be asked. It's simply a conversation. Well, does this work? No, because of that. What about that? No, it won't work because of this. The Gemara is simply going to use one argument to push them away to get to the next point. Until finally we get to the maskona, until we get to the conclusion, and we're going to establish a proper procedure, a proper formula, to address the pasuk of v'chiper ba'adoy ba'ad beisai. So back to the Gemara. He married her. Marriage? Two wives? That's a problem. He's megarish. He gives her a get. Well, then what's the point? If he undoes what he did, then he's back to square one. E megarish, says the Gemara. If he divorces her, hadra kushin l'duchta. Then Al-Kasha comes right back. Well, back to first base. He only has one wife. L'itzricha, says the Gemara, apparently we're speaking, the Megarish la'atznai. He gives a get to Leah, to the second wife, on condition. What's the condition? The Amar Lai tells her, Hareza giteich al-manasha tamusi. This is your get, which will become activated if you die. Now, right here we have a kasha. So why is he divorcing her? If she dies, then she's not an issue. So this explains what the Gemara meant was that he tells her, if you should die midpoint on Yom Kippur, more of the day, chatzos, in which case I'll have a problem because I'll have had two wives at the first point of Yom Kippur. So if that happens, your get becomes activated, in which case you were divorced retroactively, because that's what a tanai means. I'm giving it to you now on condition that such and such happens. And if it happens, lima freya, retroactively from the time of giving, the get becomes activated, in which case she was never his wife on Yom Kippur. So he only had one wife. I'm giving you a get on condition that you die. Says him, well, 1 second. Well, maybe she won't die. So Rachel is alive and Leah is alive. Once again, he has two wives on Yom Kippur. So that doesn't work. Ella, rather, let's suggest the following. The Amr lo hareza gitech. He tells Leah, here's your get, with the following condition. Almanat shaloi tamusi, on condition that you don't die. Meaning, if you survive Yom Kippur, then your get becomes activated. Eloi maisa, so she doesn't die. Megashalom, she becomes divorced. In which case, this kohen gadol only had Rachel as a wife. V'maisa, and if she does end up dying in Kippur, Hakai mahach, he still has his original wife. See the way he's covered? He only has one wife. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? V'dilma hilei maisa, maybe Leah won't die. V'avali gita, dai gita, in which case her get becomes activated. She was never his wife in Yom Kippur. But, Rachel happened to die. That's the chashash. His wife might die. He left without a wife. Rachel died. Leah got divorced because she never died and her get was conditioned on the fact that she won't die. If she survives, the get is a get. So Rachel died, Leah is divorced, he has no wife. So that doesn't work. Let's move on to the next possibility. Ela de Amrlo, Almanah Shetamas Echad Mikem. He has Rachel as a wife. He adds Leah to the bunch. He gives her a get on condition that one of you two will die. So if either Rachel or Leah dies, then your get becomes activated and you're not my wife. You were never my wife retroactively. Next few words in the Gemara, some will take out. Let's just read it. Maisaha Kaimach. So if one dies, the other one's around. Maisaach, the other one dies, Hokaimah, then the first one's around. And it appears from the Mefarshim and Taisa, we're not gurus these words, because it doesn't really work. The point was, here's your get, just in case somebody dies. And in fact, Taisa says, the Gemara could have right away asked, well, what good have you done here? Suppose one of the two Nashim dies, in which case, the get is a get. Let's say the original wife, Rachel, dies. And now Leah's get becomes activated. It was conditioned upon somebody's death. So Rachel's not around. Leah's divorced. He has no wife. The Gemara could have asked that. The Gemara chose to present the challenge a bit differently, on a more positive note. And the Gemara goes like this. Suppose nobody dies. They both go through Yom Kippur healthy and well. Now he has two wives once again. Rachel is his wife, and Leah is his wife. The get that he gave to Leah was conditioned upon somebody passing away. Nobody passed away. So Rachel is his wife, and Leah is his wife. He has two wives. Void, another problem we have with this scenario. Giving a get to Leah on condition that somebody passes away. If either Rachel or you, Leah, passes away, this get becomes activated. It doesn't really work. You can't apply such a condition by a get. You know why? Because think about it, what's the point of a get? To disengage this couple. If you make a tanai which stretches throughout the entire lifespan of the Isha, for instance, this is a get if you refrain from drinking wine throughout your entire life, then she isn't really disengaged from him. She's completely linked and meshubet to him. She's committed to him and to his condition throughout her whole life. That's not krisis. That's not disengagement. And that's the very opposite of what a get is meant to accomplish. So a tanai, a condition which is contingent upon her whole lifespan, doesn't work. V'oid, in addition, ki agavin miyabigita, this type of condition attached to a get, does it work? V'amarav, hareza gitech. He tells an isha, here's your get, amanas shloitishti yayin kol yimei chayay v'chayaychi. On condition you refrain from drinking wine throughout my entire life and your entire life. Ain't a crisis. That's not considered a proper separation, a proper cutoff, which a get is meant to generate. Kol yemei chayi plaini. If he gives her a get, he says, this get will be activated on condition you refrain from wine throughout Reuven's lifespan, a different person, not you or me. How is it crisis? Then it works. Because theoretically, Reuven's life can end before hers, in which case, the condition doesn't span her full life. In any case, Algamar, he tells Leah, here's your get on condition that one of you to die, either Rachel or Leah. So he's depending the activation of the get upon something which spans her entire lifespan. That doesn't work. Okay, let's find another idea. Ella, rather, the case in the Mishnah is like this. He's Mekadosh and marries Leah in addition to Rachel. And he gives Leah a get with the following stipulation. Ella da amar laha reza gitech al manasha loy tomas chavertech. On condition that your friend Rachel doesn't die. So if Rachel, the original wife, lives through Yom Kippur, then Leah's get becomes activated because he only wants one wife. He needs her as a backup. In this case, she's not necessary. So her get becomes activated, in which case she was never married to him throughout Yom Kippur. As the Gemara explains, Eloi Maisa Chaverta Megasha. If Rachel doesn't pass away, she survives Yom Kippur, then Leah becomes divorced. V'imaisaha. And if Rachel does pass away, Hakaimaha, Malaya standing here. He has her as a wife. So that's the point of the Mishnah. Create a backup. In case Rachel passes away, Leah will be standing, remaining as his wife. And if Rachel survives through Yom Kippur, she doesn't pass away, then he addressed that as well. He gave Leah a get on condition that that might happen. So either way, he only has one wife. Says the Gemara, it sounds good. We have one problem here. When did the Isha pass away? When did Rachel pass away? She passed away in the middle of Yom Kippur, and that's a problem. V'dilma ma'isa chaverta b'pal gad avoyda. Perhaps Rachel will pass away in the middle of the avoyda, in the middle of Yom Kippur. In which case, Leah's get has been deactivated, right? Because it was only given on condition that Rachel makes it through the day. In which case, in this case, where Rachel passed away, then Leah was never divorced. It turns out, it's been revealed retroactively, the gita da, the get given to Leah, lav gito, is not a valid get. It was only a get if Rachel remains alive throughout Yom Kippur. But if she passed away, then the get given to Leah becomes activated. It's not activated. Again, the get given to Leah was on condition that Rachel survives the day. But if she passed away, we don't want Leah to be divorced. He needs her as a backup wife. The problem is, when did this occur? In the middle of the day. But once you say, the gita da ha'lav gituhu, so it's not a get, and Leah was his wife from beginning of Kippur until now as well. So at that first portion of the day, he had two wives. V'ovid le'avoyde b'shnei ba'atim. Rachel was still his wife, and Leah was his wife. So sure, after Chatzos, after Rachel passed away, the only remaining wife was Leah. But at that first portion of the day, from beginning until Chatzos, he had two wives. Says the Gemara, Ella, you must say that in addition, this is where Tosfos learns, in addition to that stipulation, where he told Leah that your get will become activated when and if Rachel survives the day. In addition to that, which that posed a concern regarding the double wives at the first portion of the day, we're going to add another tonight. Ela de Amala, rather, in addition to what he told her earlier, that here's your get, Leah, which will become activated if Rachel survives the day, in which case I won't need you as a wife. So that's number one. In addition to that, the Amorle tells her another condition. This get will be given to you and become activated if your friend, meaning Rachel, passes away midday. Now he covered all possibilities. Again, he told her two things. Here, Leah, here's your get, which will become activated and is conditioned upon Rachel's surviving the day, in which case I don't need you. So if Rachel lives through Yom Kippur, Leah wasn't his wife, because the get has been activated. That's number one. Number two, if Rachel passes away anytime during Yom Kippur, I want your get to become activated. So this addresses our concern. What if Rachel passes away in the middle of Yom Kippur? It turns out that Leah was his wife, because up until here we thought he gave her the get only on condition that Rachel survives the day. But if she passes away, Leah's get is not valid, and Leah is his wife. That's good from Chatzos onward. But until Chatzos, he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. The answer is, he added another tonight. That if that should happen, if Rachel should pass away at midpoint, then I do want your get, your Leah's get, to be chal. In which case, she wasn't his wife. And only, he only had one wife. Says they were very good. That takes care of the first point of the day. He only has Rachel, and Leah was divorced. But after Chatzos, he's left with nobody. Rachel is no longer here, and Leah's get has been activated. In accordance with his stipulation, that if Rachel passes away midday, Leah's get becomes activated. He has nobody left. Suppose Rachel dies, middle of the day, in which case Leah's get becomes activated. Leah's get is chal. So she's out of the picture, she's divorced. He has no wife. Says the Gemara, let's propose another suggestion. Instead of giving a get only to Leah, he'll give a double get, one to Rachel, one to Leah, as follows. Elda Megarish Lo Tarvayu. He gives a get to Rachel, his original wife, and also to Leah. And he says like this. L'chada Amar Lo, to one of them, to Rachel, he says as follows. Harei Zagitich, here's your get, Amanas Shaloi Tomas Chavertich, on condition that Leah doesn't pass away. So if Leah survives the day, in which case I don't need you, this get is activated. And he does the same to the other Isha. L'chada Amarla. And to Leah, he says the same. Harei Zagitach, here's your get. Almanas. With a condition. Shalei tekansi lebeis haknesses. Oh. He came up with another creative tonight. To Leah, he says, this get will work if you don't step into a shul on Yom Kippur. So what do we accomplish here? Explains Tosfos. Now we addressed our concern. Because suppose Rachel passes away in the middle of the day. Leah always has that option of not entering a shul, which activates her get. So now he never had two wives during that first portion of Yom Kippur. Says one, very good, that addresses that concern. But it could very well be that he'll be left without anybody. So he gave Rachel a get with a condition. It's going to be activated if Leah survives the day. In which case, I don't need you, your get becomes activated. Suppose that's what happens. Leah never died. In which case, Rachel's get becomes activated. She's divorced. So Rachel's out of the picture. But Leah failed to walk into a shul on Yom Kippur. Right? Her get was conditioned upon her refraining from setting foot in a shul. So now her get becomes activated. And both Gittin have now become activated. He's left without anybody. This doesn't work. Ella says the Gemara, here's the final approach. This formula will address all concerns. He applies two Gittin. One to Rachel, the original wife, and one to Leah. And conditions them as follows. L'chad Amar Lo. He approaches Rachel and he says, look, here's your get. Harei Zagitach Amanas Shloi Tomas Chavertich. On condition that your friend, that Leah, does not pass away on Yom Kippur. So if Leah survives the day, Rachel's get has been activated retroactively, in which case he only had one wife. Rachel was out of the equation, and Leah was his only wife. So that's to Rachel. Then he approaches Leah as follows. Here's your get. Almanas. Sheikan is ani lebeis haknesses. Ah, here's a chiddush. He places himself in control. He says, here's your get, Leah, on condition your get will be activated if I enter a shul on Yom Kippur. This way he controls matters and can arrange things to his benefit. So again, he gave Rachel a get on condition that Leah survives the day. If Leah lives through Yom Kippur, then Rachel's get becomes activated, in which case he only had Leah as a wife. To Leah he says, here's your get, which will be chal if I enter a shul on Yom Kippur. Now, let's watch the events as they unfold. Suppose both women lived through Yom Kippur, then it's fairly simple. The get of Rachel is chal. That was a condition. Here's your get if Leah fails to die. So if they both lived throughout the day, lived through the day of Yom Kippur, then Rachel's get is chal, and he only had Leah as a wife. Continues the Gemara. Di maisaha. Now if one of them dies, if Rachel dies, kaimah, then Leah still stands. Di maisaha. If Leah dies, kaimah, then Rachel stands. So either way, he only had one wife. Again, if Rachel passes away, irrelevant when that happened. Before, during, any time throughout Yom Kippur, that's fine, because she had a get conditioned upon Leah's survival. Now, Leah survived. Leah lived through Yom Kippur, in which case Rachel's get becomes activated. So even if she passed away in the middle of the day, she was never married to the Kohen Gadol, because if Leah survives, Rachel's divorced. That's one side of the coin. If Leah passes away, then Rachel is his sole remaining wife. That's okay. There's one more concern. Michael Amema, what are you concerned about? Dilma Maisa Chaverta. Maybe Leah will pass away when? The Pagad Avoida. At the midway point. Right in the middle of Yom Kippur. And what happens then? Then Leah, since she did not survive Yom Kippur, Rachel's get is not active, and Rachel is still his wife, and Leah is no longer here, so he doesn't have two wives. The problem is, v'avad Leah void l'afreya b'shnei batim. Up until Leah passed away, until the middle of Yom Kippur, during the first portion of that day, he had two wives. He had Rachel and Leah. The answer is, but didn't he make another condition about the shul? If he sees that Leah is in the process of passing away, apparently they kept watch over her, and he got word that that was happening, he quickly hurries up and runs into the shul. In which case he activates Leah's get retroactively. He had given her a get on condition that if he sets foot in a shul on Yom Kippur, that get becomes activated. As soon as he sees that she's about to die in the middle of Yom Kippur, he runs into the shul. Now she's divorced retroactively. She was never his wife any time throughout Yom Kippur. And Rachel was his only wife. V'chiper ba'ada yivad beis. Again, he approaches Rachel and Leah, gives them both a get. To Rachel he says as follows. This get will work if Leah survives the day. I don't have two wives. So if Leah lives, this get works and you're no longer my wife. He approaches Leah. Here's your get, which will become activated if I enter the shul Yom Kippur. Now, if they both stay alive, then Rachel's get becomes activated. Was given to her on condition that Leah lives. If Leah lives, then Rachel is no longer his wife. She was divorced. If Rachel passes away, then it's also not a concern. Because once again, Leah is alive. And he only has one wife. Now, even if Rachel passes away in the middle of the day, she was never his wife because Leah survived the day. And he had given Rachel a get on condition that if Leah survives, your get works. So if Leah survived, Rachel was never his wife. Now, if Leah passes away, fine, then Rachel is his wife. Because her get was only on condition that Leah survives. There's no Leah. Then Rachel's get was never activated. So either way, he has one wife, Rachel or Leah. What about if Leah passes away in the middle of Yom Kippur? In which case, Rachel's get is not chal, doesn't work, because it was only given on condition that Leah survives the day. She didn't survive the day. So Rachel's his wife. Problem is, until Leah passed away, he had two wives. Answer is, he runs into the shul quickly, which activates Leah's get. She was never his wife that throughout that Yom Kippur. He's left with one wife, it's Rachel. So conclusion, Kochav Yudah, concerned about his wife passing away. We designate a backup, but designation is not enough. He needs to actually marry her. But if he marries her, he has two wives. Answer is, he gives a double get, conditioned upon this formula that we just mentioned. It says, Rav Asi asked the kash, Vitema, some say it was Rav Avira. You're telling me, V'chipa ba'adu ba'besai, denotes one wife. Besoy is singular. If that's the case, Almeata, if so, Shtei Yevamos. Suppose somebody passes away without children, his wife, the Yevama, needs to become Nisyabim through the brother. Pasuk uses the term bias, Asher Yivnes Beis Achiv, in the context of Yibum. Bias is Lashon Yachid. Suppose there are two women here, two Yevamos. Shall we say Yibum won't apply? Because bias is only one. But if you have two, it doesn't work. Yivim should not apply in this case. Answers the Gemara, yeah. Yivimta, yivimta, yiriba. Because we find a double mentioning of the word yivimta in the pasuk there, which has come to include even this case, if he leaves behind two wives. In which case, you do yivim on one, and that exempts the other. Maskev l'Ravina. Ravina asked, Vitema, some say it was Rav Shravia. Elamiata. If you just finished telling me, V'chibe ba'adri ba'adbeisa means she has to be married to him. Just kiddushin, just engagement is not enough. That's not called bias. So likewise, when it comes to yibum, we should apply the same formula. Arusa like this yabim. Suppose somebody passed away, leaving behind an arusa, who he was mekadesh, but never married. There's no yibum there, because it's not beis achim. She's not considered his bias. Answers the Gemara, ha'chutza. The pasuk says loisia eishes ames achutza, which is telling you l'rabbi sarusa, that even if the yevama is an arusa, just engaged, just kedushin, even if it's still outside, so to speak, sachutza yibum still applies. Continues the Gemara. We spoke about the kohen gadol, whose wife may have passed away in Yom Kippur. Either he does or doesn't have a backup wife, but in any case, he can continue the avoda on Yom Kippur, even though he's an oinin, one who's close family member passed away on that day. A kohen gadol may do the avoda even when he's an oinen, as opposed to a kohen hedyot, who must stop his avoda if he's an oinen. Tana Rabbanan, kohen gadol makriv oinen, even when the kohen gadol is in a state of aninus, he can do the hakrov as karban vein oichel, but eating he can't do. We had that in the story in Parsha Shmini, where they burnt the chatos, and Aaron says, look, we're oinen him, because Nadan Avihu passed away. Kohen gadol can bring a karban, but cannot eat baninus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol hayom, the whole day. What does he mean? Michael Yom, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean? Omer Rava lo nitzricha. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda means to say like this. Ela lo aviyo mitech pesa. He means that not only may the Kohen Gadol continue his avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, if he should be in the Beis HaMikdash, if he should happen to find himself there during the time of tragedy. Furthermore, we have to bring him from his house to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, God is meant to be above tragedy, above mourning. He's Hashem's shliach, and we actually bring him to the Beis HaMikdash in a time of tragedy to alleviate his tsar of the Misa, and we insist that he involves himself exclusively in the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rabba, or some say Rabba. The way Rabba interpreted Rabbi Yehuda's words, Rabbi Yehuda Mikol HaYom, he must be in the Beis HaMikdash the entire day. Only Abaye, how could you say that? To actually bring him into the Beis HaMikdash. Fine, if he's there already, he continues to avoid it. But to actually introduce him to the Beis HaMikdash in the state of tsar, That doesn't work. Hash to Rabbi Yehuda. Since we find that according to Rabbi Yehuda, afuki mafkinele, we actually take him out. Take who out? A kohen hedyot. So we're drawing a parallel, somewhat of a connection between kohen hedyot, who is meant to be extracted from the Beis HaMikdash when he encounters a state of aninus. He may not continue to avoid, we have to take him out. Afuki mafkinele, he must be removed from the Mikdash. Are you going to say that a kohen gadol is actually brought into the Mikdash in this state? Fine, if he's there already, allow him to continue. But to suggest that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you actually bring him into the Beis HaMikdash. If we find that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a kohen hedyot is removed, a kohen gadol will be introduced to the Mikdash, hard to believe. What do we find that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a kohen hedyot must be removed from the Mikdash, the sign. The kohen hedyot was in the midst of doing the avodah, v'shama shemes lemes, and he heard that a close relative passed away. He leaves the Karen right there and he leaves. He must stop in the midst of his Avodah. Did Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Emer Yigmar. Once he began the Avodah, when he was in a state of pre-Aninus, he was not yet an Einan, he can resume, he can continue, conclude that Avodah, it's not considered Hakrova B'Aninus according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because he's just finishing the Avodah experience that he began before he became an Oinen. He must let go and leave the Mikdash. Can you suggest that Kohen Yehuda himself, when it comes to Kohen Gadol, although if he's doing the Avodah, he can continue. If he's already in the Mikdash, he can engage in Avodah, but to actually bring him into the Beis HaMikdash in this state of severe distress and mourning and aninus? Apparently that's not what Yehuda meant when he said Kolayim. Elom Arava, my Kolayim. What do you mean with those words? Loimar tatisha she'ino ivet kalayim. Although, min haTorah, kohen gadol can do avodas karbonis, even when he's an einan, min derabbanan we don't allow it. Throughout that day, we don't allow avodah gzeru shama yoichal, because he might actually go out and eat the karbon. He'll think, well, eating a karbon is such an integral part of the kapara. The pasuk says, v'ochlu oisam asher kupar behem, the kohanim eat, and the balam have kapara. So just as I'm allowed to bring the carbon, I can eat it as well. Because he's in a severe state of aninus and distress, he won't have that ability to differentiate, that clarity of mind. Avoidim atli to achil, and therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda Kolayim, throughout that day, he must refrain midrabbanan from doing avoid. So at this point in the Gemara, as far as eating, nobody's allowed to eat b'aninus, whether kohen gadol or kohen hedyot. As far as hakrova, min haTorah, kohen gadol can do hakrova. When the Rabbanan, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't allow. The Kohen Hedyot may not do Hakrova. What if he began when he was still a non-Oinen, and then he became an Oinen? Can he continue? According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Says the Gemara, is that so, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't allow Kohen Gadol Oinen to do Avodah because he might eat? Omelet of Adar bar Aval Rav. Umi Gadol Rabbi Yehuda Shomei Yoichel, is that so, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're concerned that he might eat? If he does Avodah, it might lead him to Achila, but it's not. Take a look at our Mishnah. Rabbi Da'imer, Afisha Acheres Maskinilai. We designate a backup wife. Shema Thomas Ishtar. Perhaps his wife might pass away. So he has a backup wife to cover for that scenario. And this would allow him to continue doing Avodah. Be'aninus. V'imai se Ishtar. Avod Avodah. If his wife passes away, which propels him into a state of Aninus. Avod Avodah. Are you suggesting that I'll continue doing that void? That's the point of the Mishnah. Create a backup wife to enable him to continue that void. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned. If you allow him to do a void, he might eat the carbon. We allow him to do a void. That's Rabbi Yehuda's whole point in the Mishnah. Create a backup wife for that very scenario. Amar Lei, Rabbi responds like this. You can't compare. We're speaking on Yom Kippur. Nobody's eating on Yom Kippur. How can we compare the two? Awesome. Over there now, Mishnah Kivan Duyam Akipurimu. Since we're dealing with Avoida Anyam Kippur. The Kuli Almaloka Achli. Nobody else is eating as well. Who Nami? He as well, the Kohen Gadol, as well, Loy Osir Lamechel, he won't come to eat. So, despite the fact that he's in a state of aninus and distress and a blurred mindset, he'll be mindful of the fact that today we don't eat. Nobody eats today. So there's no concern of achil over there. Hacha, however, in our case, your typical kohen gadol einan on ordinary weekday, the kuli alma achli, when he sees everybody eating today, who knows, Yasla Mechel. He as well might go ahead and approach the carbon and eat it. If we allow him to do avoida, might lead to achil. That's what Yehuda says. On ordinary weekday, we don't allow the Kohen Gadol to proceed with avoida because it might lead to achil. Says the Gemara, you brought a raif in the Mishnah, where the Kohen Gadol was an einin on Yom Kippur, and we still allow him to do the avoida. Since when was he an einin? His wife has been divorced retroactively. Isn't that what we learned before? That any time the Isha will pass away midday, we arrange things in a way that she will have been divorced retroactively from before Yom Kippur. So this woman that passed away, technically, wasn't even his wife today. In which case, he's not an Einan. So what are you bringing right from the Mishnah? There's no Einan involved there whatsoever. V'chi'agavna, in this case of the Mishnah, Michaila Alei Aninus, does the state of Aninus apply to him? Oh my gosh, she's been divorced before Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, you're right. Technically speaking, Nihida Aninus Lechayle. True, the Torah concept of Aninus doesn't apply to him because she was already divorced prior to Misa. Atrudi Miloi Mitrit. But nevertheless, at the end of the day, isn't he distressed about the fact that his wife, his former wife, his wife of 30 years, passed away today? You know, he only gave her a get, at least the first wife, he only gave her a get on condition, and just to address the technical, basic considerations. He didn't really want to divorce her. They were still close, so when she passed away, even though technically we worked things out that she wasn't really his wife today anymore, she was already divorced from yesterday, but he's still in a state of mourning, of avelus, of aninus, and he may not eat a korban today. Rashi says, for korbanis we have to have lamoshcha, l'gdula, he has to eat it royally, besimcha, which he's not. He's not besimcha. Therefore, he may not eat under these circumstances, and that's why it was a good raya from the Mishnah. According to Yehuda, if avoida is not allowed because it might generate achila, then why in our Mishnah, where he may not eat a korban, can we allow him to do the avoida in Kippur? And the answer was, because nobody's eating, so he himself will not make that mistake, he'll refrain from achila as well. The time for a brief chazara. We learned that, according to Rabbanon, since tumah is something which is common, we do designate a backup kohen gadol. But that's it, we stop right there. And the real point is to generate a undercurrent of competition so that the real kohen gadol will be extra careful and diligent and avoid encountering tumah. According to Yehuda, we designate a backup isha as well, just in case his wife dies. Chacham disagree. It's unlikely that an isha will die from one minute to the next. Therefore, don't worry about it. And if you do, then it's never ending. You have to create another backup for the backup, and so on and so forth. The reader says, one backup is enough, even if I'm choshesh with something unreasonable, but at least it's somewhat within reason. One backup, but not two. We learn v'chibi ba'adai bat beisai. He has to have a wife, married, and only one. So how do we go about creating a backup isha without encountering any technical difficulties? The Gemara tells us he marries Leah in addition to Rachel, but gives them both a get and conditions it in a way that will only end up having one wife through Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that really Beisai is one wife, and Beisai means truly married, but by Yibum we have a drasha that even Arusa is chayiv in Yibum, and even when there are two wives coming, there is a chayiv of Yibum as well. We learned that a kohen gadol oinin may not eat a korban, but he may do the avoida. According to Yehuda, we don't allow avoida because it might lead him to achila. Of course, this only applies throughout the year on Yom Kippur, where nobody's eating in any case. We got a kohen hedit. He may not eat, nor can he do the avoida in a state of aninus. What if he began the akrova before he became an oinin? Rabbi Yisi says, yigmar. Rabbi Yisi says, he must stop in his tracks. Haslacha Rabban, all the best to you.